Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about the Basic Gospel, how it intersects with your daily life, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The toll-free number is 1-800-677-9377. So if you have a Bible question or if there's something you need to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel is this, that Jesus Christ is alive, and because he's alive, we can live as well, live eternally with him. That's just basic to this good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But what's also basic is the fact that he dealt with sin once and for all, and that because of his act of righteousness on the cross and taking upon himself the sins of the world, we are forgiven people. Our sins have been forgiven, past tense. Boy, that can stir up all kinds of controversy and questions, and we've certainly experienced that throughout our history as a ministry. But the truth remains, Jesus Christ has dealt with sin once and for all. Do we truly believe it? And what happens, what does God do when we sin today? Does he punish us? What does he do? Does he turn his back on us? What does God do today when we sin? Let's talk about it on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Go ahead and call. Be a part of today's program. We would love to hear from you.
As Phil is by email from Phoenix, he says, I work two jobs 7 days a week, and I feel like I'm away from God and haven't gone to church for a long time. Does this make me a backslider? And if I haven't been sharing about Christ as much as I know the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, does that mean that when I die, I'm going to go to hell? I'm stuck and discouraged. That's from Phil in Phoenix.
Well, really, insightful question.
Gets down to the heart of it.
It does. It gets down to the heart of it. And just the issues I think we all face in life. I've talked to many people as they're approaching death, and you know, some of the things that they say really surprises you based on your knowledge of who they are, their relationship with Christ. But I've had the opportunity to talk to a number, and it's like, I just hope I've done enough. I just hope that I've given enough, that I've prayed enough, that I've taught enough Sunday school classes, that I've shared Christ enough. And it's like, what do you mean? Your salvation isn't dependent upon anything that you've done. Your salvation is dependent upon Christ. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection that saves us. There's no other way or means to enter into God's presence. I mean, absolutely none. You come to the negotiating table with nothing. And if you do bring something, it just takes away from what Christ has accomplished for you. So as far as being a backslider, as far as do I need to go to church, you know, all the time, and, you know, all of those sort of things, you're asking a question and thinking that you have a role in your salvation, that you have a part in your eternal destiny. The only part that you have is the part of receiving the gift of grace. Jesus Christ does all the work. You simply receive what he has accomplished, what he's provided for you. And when you receive him, you receive forgiveness and you receive life.
Yeah.
That's the good news. And it's never going to be taken away from you. Christ's work guarantees it. So rest in that. Rejoice in that. Let your heart overflow with thanksgiving to Jesus for what he's accomplished. That will give you confidence in any area of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. And we have open lines for you right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Down to Temple, Texas, talking to Duran, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Duran.
Hey, Bob Christopher. I've had a couple of things. First, I want to finally let y'all know that I finally found a church in Temple, Texas that actually preaches the full gospel.
Well, good for you, Duran. That's great. God will always kind of lead the way, open the door for you. Sometimes it seems like it's not in in good timing that, you know, Lord, why did you take so long? But I think it's perfect timing when it actually happens. So that's great news, Daron.
Yeah, when I went in there, I heard somebody watching the old video of Bob George. And it was just amazing. I'm like, I know this is the right place for me. So now some of my family is going now. So, you know, that's good. We're spending time together and hearing the word. So I just want to let y'all know that. Well, my second question is, I'm trying to explain to my brother about the gift of tongues, because he's still in the Pentecostal church, and he's thinking that it's like a heavenly language, and you know how they do when they claim they're speaking in tongues, but it's actually not tongues, it's just gibberish. And I'm trying to get him out of there.
Does he practice that? Is that something that he does?
No, they just have him thinking that that's actually God working with them doing that, and thinking that's the Holy Spirit, but I'm trying to convince him that that's not the Holy Spirit. That is an evil spirit going in them, and it's like just a whole bunch of demonic stuff that's going on in those type of churches. Am I right? So I want to teach him truth about that. And I told him about tongues as a known language, and if there has to be an interpreter, and the other person has to tell them what the interpreter is saying. Am I right?
Well, I think the scripture is pretty clear that it is a known language. Most of the time that it was used in the Bible, it was evangelistic in nature, or it was a sign to unbelieving Jews. For example, when Peter went to the Samaritans and then he went to Cornelius's family, the gift of the Spirit was given, and tongues accompanied that. And that was a sign to Peter that the gift had been given, the gift of God's Spirit had been given to Samaritans and to Gentiles. And he never believed that would ever be a reality. He never thought in a million years that God would give them the same gift that he gave the Jews. So he was an unbeliever in that sense, not in the sense of being lost, but he didn't believe that would happen. And so that gift confirmed in his heart that God shows no favoritism, that he gives equally to all who call upon the name of the Lord, and all are saved by grace through faith. And he made that declaration to the council at Jerusalem when they were asking about Gentiles. How do we handle them? Are they equal as far as God is concerned and as far as we're concerned? And that's what Peter said. I know that God shows no favoritism, that he saved them just as he has saved us, and he has given them the same gift that he has given us. So it was normally used, to present the gospel or to convince somebody that the Spirit had been given to another people group. So some of this, thought that it's a heavenly language. There's a couple of verses that people point to, particularly in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, that they try to use to support that. But I think, if you read it in context, I don't think that's what Paul is saying there at all.
Well, I know there's a scripture, and then I think it was 9 through 20 or something, but it wasn't in the original manuscript. Like it said about they will do this in my name. They will cast out demons and, something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's Mark, the end of the Gospel of Mark, the last little section there. It was not found in earlier manuscripts, so we know that it was added at a later time.
Mm-hmm. That's what I figured, and I'm just trying to explain that to them and different people, what the true tongues is. And it said that it's for not for a believer, but for an unbeliever. Am I correct, or is it the other way around?
That's correct. The sign to an unbeliever.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, I just have to, the Holy Spirit just have to keep working with me to explain that more clearly to people, and not choke up. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, and the point, I mean, he just needs to go into the Word of God and let the Spirit do his work there. I mean, the whole idea that, you know, I believe this and you believe that. Well, eventually you have to come back and say, well, what does the Word of God have to say? And are
right.
you willing to let the Word of God, you know, show you what truth is on this particular matter? And I think, you know, God will be faithful to open up a heart and mind and give them truth.
Okay, then. Well, thank y'all so much. I'm still going to be supporting y'all. And
well, we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks for your call today, Deron. Richard, do you have any follow-up on that? It's such an interesting subject, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's so tragic that we get into arguments over it, because Paul clearly asks a set of questions at the end of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, and the answer to each question is no. He says, all are not apostles, are they? No. All are not prophets, are they? No. All are not teachers, are they? No. All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Every answer to every question is, well, no, of course they don't. And so what we do as humans, as we go running over to chapter 14 and find some admonition about what tongues perhaps should be, and we turn it into a law, and we beat people over the head with that law and say, if you're not speaking in tongues, you must not be saved.
Right.
And Paul himself says, well, not everybody speaks in tongues. I speak in tongues more than anyone, he said. Well, he had to, because he was running all over the country, the world, at the known world at that time, talking to people who had never heard about Jesus and didn't know as their native language either Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. And God had to do things with him. And it's so clear and it's so beautiful. Why would we turn it into a law that we hurt people with instead of paying attention to chapter 13, which says, here's the more excellent way. Let's love each other.
Absolutely.
We have plenty of open lines, friends, and we want to hear from you. That's why we're here live every day on the air, and you're a vital part of the broadcast. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question, a Bible question, perhaps some situation in life that you need to go into the Word of God and find a solution for, why, that's why we're here. 1-800-677-9377. Also want to remind you that today we're at the end of our offer for the series and study guide, Gateway to Grace, yours this month for the remaining hours of July for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. It's a very exciting series, informative, full-conference Bible study resource, and we encourage you to use it for personal or group study. To make your gift and request yours, why, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Just ask for Gateway to Grace, and we will appreciate so much your support. Your support also is vital to us here at Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question on assurance from Carol, who writes to us from Escondido, California, says, I don't know if this is wrong or not, but I've been baptized and given my life to God, but sometimes I hear this voice telling me that I haven't been saved and that I'm not good enough. I grew up in the Catholic Church and went to Catholic school, grades 1 through 5. Could this just be what I grew up with, the Catholic Church and its teachings, because I feel like I'm not doing good and that I don't deserve to go to heaven? Can someone please help me?
Well, the fact of the matter, none of us deserves to go to heaven. What we deserve is punishment. That's, you know, how God would judge us apart from Christ Jesus, because all have sinned and fall short of His glory. So none of us deserve to go to heaven. We're just simply saved by grace. We're given that opportunity because God loves us, because God is interested in us, because God cares for us. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why Jesus died in our place to take away our sins. That's why Jesus was buried, so that He could put an end to our old way of life. That's why He was raised back to life, so that we could have a brand new life in Him. So none of us deserve to go to heaven, but God has granted that to us by grace. And so when we receive Him, we become children of God. We're guaranteed to be in His presence forever. And the Spirit, God's gift of the Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing that. So whatever the world is telling us, whatever our flesh is telling us, whatever our own minds are telling us, the Spirit is speaking even louder and saying, you know, this is truth. You belong to me. When you were absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord. So at some point, we have to realize that the things that go through these minds of ours, I have to say, that's not true. And that's not coming from me. It sounds like it's coming from me, but that's just my flesh speaking. That's just the philosophies of the world speaking. That may be Satan speaking, but it's not me. And so I'm going to reject it, and I am going to rely on what the Word says about me and what Jesus says about me, because that's the foundation. And once I start learning how to rely on the truth of the Word of God, the truth of what Jesus says about us, the truth of what Jesus has accomplished for us, then those things will start diminishing.
Right. Yeah. Thanks to Carol for that email, and we appreciate your writing to us and hope that's been a help to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go out to Ernest in El Paso, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Ernest.
Hi, good afternoon.
And to you as well. How can we help you today?
Yes, I just have this thing going in my mind about the latest comments made by the Pope when he left Brazil. I think one of the things he said was an atheist can make it to heaven if he does good deeds or he does good work. So I was just wondering how an atheist can make it to heaven in the first place when he doesn't believe in God or believe there's a heaven. So, and that's the first question. Then second question, is that scripturally correct?
Well, Ernest, there's only really one, quote, good deed, and that's to believe in Jesus Christ. So that's the only way that you can have assurance of salvation. That's the only way that you can enter into God's presence when you die is through faith in Jesus Christ. The disciples asked Jesus, what is the work of the ministry, or what are the works of the ministry? And he said this, to believe in me. That's all God's interested in, is faith in Jesus Christ. And when faith comes to a person, then all the other things are added. But, you know, nobody can work their way into heaven. Nobody can do enough good deeds to earn a place in God's kingdom. It just can't be done. And the reason it can't be done is because of sin and death. We are in bondage to sin and death, and no matter how hard we try to be good, sin is just going to come forth until we're saved, until we trust in Jesus and we go from death to life. So, no, we can't work our way into heaven.
So is it safe to say, like a young man, is it safe for me to say I respectfully disagree with the Pope?
Well, he's not infallible. I mean, as some would say, he is not infallible. Our standard is the Word of God. And the Word of God says that we are saved by grace through faith.
Through faith.
Absolutely. And so anyone that says anything different is preaching another gospel, which is really no gospel at all.
All right.
I mean, how would you like it, Ernest, if I came to you and said, if you're good enough, you know, for all of your life, then maybe you can have a place in heaven. That wouldn't be very good news, would it?
No, it's not going to cut it.
Yeah, because you can't be good enough, can you?
No, I can't.
And it brings up the question, well, how good is good enough?
Exactly.
And we just, wherever we set the bar, we can't reach it.
Yeah.
So that's not good news at all. That's why we have to be saved by grace through faith.
By grace through faith. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ernest. Thanks for your call.
You know, even more horrific is the idea that I could do something good enough that puts God in my debt.
Yes.
That he says, oh, well, I owe you salvation.
Right.
Oh, that's no God. I mean, if that's the God we serve, then let's just quit and go out and play in the freeway because it's pointless.
Right.
God is not that way. God took the initiative to save us. We don't take the initiative to beat him into submission.
Yeah. He's the creator. We're the created ones.
Yes.
He's independent. We're dependent. He initiates. We respond.
Yes.
Well, let's go to TJ in Louisiana listening to us on WLNO. Hi, TJ. TJ, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bob, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you. How can we help you?
Yeah, I was just actually going over with the guy. I heard him, heard the man talking on gifts of the Spirit. I was, you know, if he would read, like you said, if they would read the scripture right divided, he would have maybe a little clarity of understanding. You know, like it, you know, it's very clear in the Bible about the tongues. Like you said, what the devil, you know, the biggest trick of the devil is he always wants you to believe that the word is not true. Now, it clearly states in the Bible, and he may have some question about it, and that's understandable. He may be a new believer, maybe a babe. In the Bible, you know, like it's called the Acts of the Apostles. That's the first book of the New Testament church, the first century church. They didn't have any New Testament church until the book of Acts. The Bible is right divided. The epistles are to all believers. You know, you have to understand the right divide, but he's talking about the gifts. If you read the scripture ahead of that, it was explained to him about the apostles and the prophets and the early teachers and the miracles, which is in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Early teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps of governments, diversities of tongues, meaning you might have a different tongue you may have to speak in. I don't mean you don't have to get the tongue, so you may speak in one tongue. And even Paul even said, I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So it's not a gift of the devil, because the devil don't want to never give you nothing God has for you. So if he would just, like you, as you put it earlier, if he would pray and read the scriptures, right at the body, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what he tells us in Timothy.
Yeah.
So if he would read the scriptures right at the body, to me, I would just point out a suggestion to the guy earlier. He was saying, but he didn't understand about tongues. Well, it's in the Bible, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, the word is infallible.
Yeah, that's exactly right, TJ. I always wonder when we get in discussions about the gifts of the Spirit, it seems we always migrate to tongues and to healing. And those are, you know, those sensational gifts. And folks think, if I just had that, then I would be something special, not only in God's sight, but in everybody else's sight. And you certainly don't see people, you know, praying, Lord, give me the gift of giving. You know, I really want the gift of giving. You know, nobody prays for that. Nobody really prays for the gift of encouragement. But those are gifts of the Spirit. And God gives those at His discretion, at His will, for the overall benefit of the body. We're always looking at things on an individual level instead of seeing things from a corporate level. When we're saved individually, but then we're added to this body of believers. We actually belong to something, really, genuinely belong to a group of people who know Jesus Christ, and we're connected and bound together by the love of God. And so what God does in pouring out those gifts is for the benefit of the corporate body, so that we can grow up together and be mature in Christ. That's good news, isn't it, TJ? And it's a unifying truth. It's not a truth that divides. It's a truth that brings us together in Christ. Well, TJ, sure appreciate your call today. We're out of time on today's broadcast.
Have a blessed day, man.
Hey, you do too.
Yeah, thanks, TJ. And thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this one and who wrote to seek answers from Basic Gospel. Friends, you know, the reason we continue to point out that Basic Gospel is totally listener-supported is because we continue to need your support. It's what keeps the truth of the New Covenant on the airwaves every day. And as a final reminder, today is the final day that we're making available the excellent Bible study resource called Gateway to Grace for a gift of any amount. It's an entire Bible conference in one exciting package, 6 CDs and a scripture-referenced study guide with notes that address many of the phony religious-sounding influences that we're confronted with every day. Gateway to Grace, it's a New Covenant journey to faith and freedom, and it's a great resource for personal or group study. And it's yours for the remainder of today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To request yours, Gateway to Grace, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours for the remainder of today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're all into social media. We use it, hope you do too. And if you will, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.